continue in our series. We started last week on God's vision for your life. How many know that God has a vision for your life? Let me say again, how many know that God has a vision for your life? We talked about just recently, we just finished up a series on learning our God-given destiny. Now we're finding out what is God's vision for our life. Simply this, we know that in pattern, when we look at Scripture, that God has destined for every Christian. This is what He says for our life. What is God's vision for my life? Simply to see you saved, healed, set free, discipled, equipped, empowered of the Holy Spirit, and serving. And that many times we get saved, and then we start serving, and we kind of skip from A to Z, and we don't realize that God's got so much more for our life. That He has never called us to walk around sick. He's not called us to walk around with heavy hearts, but He's called to heal us, to set us free, that we be discipled, formed into His disciple, equipped with the tools necessary to serve, empowered by the Holy Spirit, serving what God has for us. So we're going to look at this pattern in Scripture and study it out. Last week we talked about the first part of this, about being saved, that God has called for every one of us to what? To be saved. This week we're going to look at He is our healer. He is our healer. Anybody believe that Jesus is your healer today? He is our healer. Let's look at our text in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Jesus returned to, what we see here is Jesus returning to the synagogue, the place He grew up, and they said, hey, Jesus, it's your turn to read. And so He gets up to read the Scripture, and of course, the Scripture that He is so happened to be reading that day, that they chose for Him to read, is the very prophecy, prophesying, Isaiah prophesying about Jesus. So here's Jesus reading His own prophecy. You know, it's kind of, you know, who's on first, who's on second type of routine here, but here's Jesus reading His own prophecy that's been prophesied about Him. And He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recover the sight of the blind, to set the liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. We know, as we looked at this scripture right here, it teaches us right here that Jesus said, this is what I'm about. Jesus said, this is what I am here for. That Jesus says, I am here, first of all, to preach the gospel. Why would He preach the gospel? Because we need saved. As we talked about last week, we need saved. So He came to preach the gospel, the good news of the gospel, because we need saved. Then He says, not only does he come to preach the gospel to save us, but He's come to heal the brokenhearted, to give sight to the blind. And then He says, I've come to set free those who are oppressed. He's basically saying, man, if you're oppressed, if you've got spirits that are attached to you, He goes, by the way, I specialize in casting out demons. It's just something that happens, you know. I'm just something about setting people free from spirits that are oppressing them. This is what I've come to do. And this is the first three things we're looking at right here, is that Jesus has come to save us, to heal us, and to set us free. Today we're talking about the healing part, that He has come to heal us. Last week we looked at the word salvation, that He has come to save us. We realized that the word salvation, as it's used in the text, it translates to the Greek original meaning is the word sozo, which translates to be made whole. To be made whole. Jesus said, I have come to preach the gospel that you and I can be made whole. Well, simply means this, that in your life, if you're looking for completeness through a spouse, through a job, through money, through degrees, through relationships, you'll never be made whole unless you allow Jesus to make you whole. Let me say it again. You'll never be made whole until you allow Jesus to make you whole. Nothing else can ever make you whole except through a relationship with Jesus Christ. He has come to preach that we can be made whole. We know that salvation, that our spirits are saved. Our spirits are saved at salvation. It says that our spirits through Scripture are perfected at salvation. My man may not be perfect, but my spirit has been perfected through my faith in Jesus Christ. So we see that my faith in Jesus Christ and my spirit is perfected. My body is going to be perfected. One day, I'm going to have abs. Remember that I talked about last week? Last week, I'm going to have abs one of these days in heaven. I'm going to have a new body. P90X, I ain't seen nothing yet. My body's going to be perfected. And my soul. So we're talking about soul and body today. What Jesus came to heal, what? Our soul and our body. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. That I'm constantly as I am saved, I'm still working in a progress. I'm still a work in progress that he is healing and making my mind, my body, my spirit. He's making me whole in this journey in my Christian walk as long as I'm here on earth. And so if he's came to set the captives free, to heal our bodies today, let's look at this. Let's talk about him healing our soul and our body. Let's look what the Bible says about physical healing. Number one, what does the Bible say about physical healing? How many here know somebody who needs a physical healing in their body? Anybody? This relates to us, doesn't it? This relates to every one of us. We know either maybe we need that in our own life, or we know somebody who needs a physical healing in their body. Look at Exodus 15, 26 says, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the disease on you which I have brought to the Egyptians." Now, he's talking to the children of Israel and comparing what they're going through with the plagues and the things that are happening there that he's given to Pharaoh that he releases their people. But he makes a very important promise here at the very end that if we're not careful, we can overlook that and say, he wasn't talking to me. Yes, he is very much talking to you and I with this last statement. He says, "For I am the Lord who heals you." Now, he's not saying, "I am God, and by the way, I heal." He's saying, "For your information, my name is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals." This is what he's saying. It's what he's declaring, that his name is healing. Some people think that Jesus healed just to prove that he was God. And I beg to differ with you that he didn't need to prove to anybody who he was. He didn't have to prove he was God. He was God. He knew he was God. But the reason that he heals was not to prove that he's God. The reason that he heals because healing is who he is. Jesus can't help but heal because he's a healing God. It's his nature. It's even a part of his name. He says, "I am the Lord who heals you." It's his name. He wants to heal us. The Bible says it is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. He's directly addressing sickness and disease right here because he correlates that with sickness and disease in the line before. Exodus 23, 25, look what it says. "So you shall serve the Lord all your God, and he will bless your bread and your water." Look what it says, "And I will take the sickness away from you in the midst of you." Psalms 103, verses 2 and 3, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities," we're not sins, "and who heals all our disease." He heals all your disease. Now, let me ask you this. How many believe that Jesus has forgiven all of our sins? Raise your hand if you believe that Jesus has forgiven all of our sins. So this is the question I have for you. If we believe that Jesus has forgiven all our sins, why can't we believe that Jesus heals us? Oh, you just tricked me, Pastor, you know. You know, because the statement is very clear. Either both of these are right, or both of them are wrong. Because we don't have one right, one wrong. Either it's all a big hoax, and it's nothing but a flat-out lie, or both of them are promises given to us, and both of them are true. So why do we believe God can forgive me my sins, but we struggle believing that God can heal my body? And it's a very natural thing, and I think some of you are already, the wheels are spinning. You're saying, "Well, you know, I know people who haven't been healed, and they've been prayed for." And so your mind's going there. We'll address that in just a second. So I understand, but we have to believe. First of all, we got to believe. If he says that he has come to heal us, that he can heal us and does heal us. Why do we believe only one part and not the second part? Look what Isaiah 53:4 says. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." The word griefs is used 24 times in the Old Testament. 20 times as it's used right here, the same fashion, it means the word sickness. The word sorrows means infirmities, which translates to mean our disabilities, our body disabilities. And so he has come to what bore our griefs, our sickness, and carried away our infirmities. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his what? Stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. He bore our sickness on his body. Why would he bore the sickness on his body if he was not going to bring healing to us? He wants to bring healing to his people. It says, "By his stripes we are healed." Now in Scripture, It does not tell us exactly how many stripes that Jesus took. But if we study out the full gospel, we see where Paul talks about that they were only allowed to give 39 stripes according to the Jewish customs. They were only allowed to give 39 stripes. 40 was considered a break of the law, and they would not break the law at all. It was an unholy thing. You can get that or not. To whip a man 40 times. But 39, it's okay. But 40 was unacceptable. And so we realized through what we study in time and see what was tradition for that time, and according to Scripture, what Paul said, we believe, and all theologians agree, that Jesus was whipped 39 times according to the custom of that day. Now, I just throw out that number 39 times. You can believe it or not. That's fine. But let me just tell you this, that since there's been doctors and researchers who now that come out and have stated publicly that they believe now they have traced every disease, every origin of every disease known to man in our bodies, they can trace it down to 39 different cells. 39 different parts of our DNA that can be connected. Every disease that we have in our body that we can suffer in the world can be traced back to 39 different cells. Now, you believe what you believe? I just throw that number out to you. Is it a coincidence that he says by his stripes, if he received 39, are for the healing of our bodies? I just let you take that and ponder on that. Matthew 8:16, look what it says. When the evening had come, they brought to him, talking about Jesus, many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word. Now, let's look at that. He cast out the spirits with the word. I'm not going to get into that today, but let me just tell you that when you have spirits that are oppressing you, oppressing your marriage, oppressing your life, use the word, okay? It says that Jesus cast them out with a word. Let me say, a word from Jesus, the devil must obey. A word. So you're having problems, you get out the scripture and speak the word of God over your marriage. Speak the word of God over your body. Speak the word of God over your children. Speak the word of God over your finances and see what has to happen. Just a little side note there. Let's keep going. But the exciting part is Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is exciting to you and I because we just read where it says that he healed them all, didn't he? It says that he, with the word, he cast out the spirit. And I didn't finish that second line, but it says, and what? He healed all those who were sick in his midst. And so if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, this is the promise that you and I have. If he healed 2,000 years ago, Jesus still heals today. Let me say again, if he healed 2,000 years ago, he still heals today. It is still his will that he wants to heal his people. But the problem is this, that we all have this thing of trying to blame people. Why does God heal some people and not others? That's the question we have. Why does God choose to heal some people and doesn't heal others? I know this question. It was a question I had at a young age. My mother was diagnosed with cancer when I was 11, 12 years old. She was only given 9 months to live. She's here today still. She's still kicking. Well, maybe not kicking, but she's still here walking. Some of you didn't get what I said. She was given 9 months to live, and she's still here today. Do the math, okay? That's a big thing, yeah. But at the same time, there was a lady living down the street from us. And she was diagnosed with cancer at the same time. Peggy. Daughter was my good friend. We played together. She went to church at the same church. She was prayed over by the same people. But she died. So why does God heal one and not heal the other? And if we're not careful, what happens is this, we start blaming people. Well, maybe their faith wasn't strong enough, or maybe the people who pray for them, their faith wasn't strong enough. And maybe they did this and that. And what happens is we start doing this blame game, trying to blame, because we just can't comprehend. It must be something. So we try to put the blame on other people. And let me tell you that the blame game is a trap that Satan is setting for us today. Because this is the very first thing we see happening in the garden was the sin of the blame game. Remember when Adam and Eve ate of the apple of the tree? God came to Adam and said, Adam, what are you doing? I told you not to eat of that tree. The one thing I told you not to do, you did. What did he say? God, it's not my fault. This woman here, you gave me. She was naked and she had an apple. not my fault. I'm a weak man. She's naked with an apple. Eve, what are you doing? It wasn't my fault. A snake told me I could be like you if I ate of this tree. I mean, from the very beginning of time, we see where people want to put the blame on everybody else. And when we start blaming people and start blaming God and start blaming, we're falling into the trap that Satan has for us. Let me say this to you. The simple explanation is, number one, I really don't fully know the answer. But I do know this, that we live in a fallen world. And when sin entered the world, it brought and opened the door for sickness and disease. Does God heal? Yes, he does. I pray for people who have had tumors shrink and disappear. I pray for cancer that's disappeared. I've seen deaf ears open. I've seen broken bones put back together just like that. I've walked in on people in ICU who's only given a few days to live, pray for them, and seen them walk out of the hospital in a few weeks. But you know what? I've had others I've prayed for in the same position, and they died a few days later. The question I have for you is this. If I pray for one Christian in ICU, and they're healed, and they walk out, and I pray for another Christian in ICU, and they die 3 days later, who was healed? Right, both. See, this is the hope that you and I have, is that they were perfected, they were healed. Sometimes God chooses to heal on this side, and sometimes he doesn't choose to heal to the other side. And you and I, we just ain't going to figure it out. We don't have a full understanding why. And it's okay not to understand. It's okay to say, God, I don't understand. But what's not okay is this, to say, God, I don't trust you anymore. That's wrong. Because my position and your position is this. God, your word says that you heal. I believe that you heal. I've seen it. I've heard it. And I'm to pray and believe. And if you choose to heal, we celebrate. And if you choose to call them home, even more will we trust you when we don't understand. This is our position as a church, that we pray and we believe. We can't understand it all, and we don't have all the answers, but we know who does. And his ways are higher than our ways. We can't fully comprehend everything, but I can tell you this, that God still desires to heal. He still desires that you claim the blood of Jesus. He still desires you claim the name of Jesus for his stripes or for your healing in your life. Let me ask you this. On the cross, it says that Jesus what? That Jesus broke the power of iniquity on the cross, didn't it? It means this, that Jesus broke the power of sin on the cross. So how many received the power of forgiveness of sins when you accepted Jesus Christ? Anybody received that power? Raise your hand. Okay. Since you've been saved, has anybody ever sinned in here? Some of you more than others. You need to work on that, I know. We need to talk about that. Some of you a lot more than us. Okay, but we know this. Does it change the fact that Jesus has not given us power over sin in our life? Does he still have power over sin? Yes, he does. Emphatically, he has got power over sin in our life. But yet, we still struggle with it. What I'm saying is this. This is because he has given us power over physical healing in our life. Doesn't mean sometimes we're going to understand everything, okay? But we have to believe. Trust and believe. Pray and believe. Trust and believe. We see miracles after miracles after miracles happen. And when they don't happen, we still trust God. Even so, more will I trust you. But God has come. We got to make it realize this is who he is. He has come to heal the multitude. He has come to heal us. But we have been redeemed, but this world has not. We live in an unredeemed world. And so there is sickness and disease. The second part of this today, I'm going to close with this last point. What does the Bible say about emotional healing? What does the Bible say about emotional healing? Let's read this text again in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to what? To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the what? The brokenhearted. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Past hurts and wounds will hold you back. They will keep you captive. Everyone in this room, let me say this again, everyone in this room has had their heart broken. Everybody in this room has had major disappointments. You've had people who have rejected you. You've lost loved ones close to you. You've had things happen to you that was unfair. Everyone in this room has had a broken heart. None of us are excluded from this. We've all had our heart broken. But the great news is this, that Jesus has come to heal the brokenhearted. He didn't just come to heal us physically. He also came to heal our broken heart. And this is the great news of the gospel, that we don't have to walk around with our heart broke for the rest of our life. That he's come to heal us. The good news today is he came to heal the brokenhearted. One of the worst statements that can be said or made to somebody or you hear from somebody is this: you just need to learn how to cope. No, we just need to learn how to get healed. That's what it is. Jesus didn't die on the cross so that you and I could cope with a broken heart. He died on the cross so that he could bring healing to the brokenhearted. And even though my heart may be broken right now, he's come to heal my broken heart. And let me tell you, he's a better heart surgeon than anybody in the world. He says he will create in you a clean, a new heart. He's the greatest heart surgeon you'll know, but you got to give him your heart first and say, God, I've got a broken heart. God, I need you to heal my broken heart. And this is the awesome thing. He says he has come to heal the brokenhearted. He didn't come so that we could just cope. We don't just get over it. No, Jesus has come to heal that we can get over it. Jesus has come to heal so I can learn to walk again, to believe again, to have happiness again. People who have been emotionally hurt or rejected, they become one of two things. They become either people who are people pleasers, they want to please everybody because they don't want anybody mad at them, or they become a control freak. They want to control everything around them and don't want anybody to hurt them. So they're going to control everything. And the problem is, most of the time, these two people get married. I can tell you through a lot of experience, a lot of times they end up getting married. What's the solution? Let's get a divorce. We shouldn't be married. We're a control freak and I'm a people pleaser. No, the solution is not get a divorce. The solution is let God heal your heart. I don't have to control everything. I can let God heal my heart. I don't have to be worried about fear of rejection. God will heal my heart. Give the Lord your heart today. Allow him to heal it. How do you know if you have a hurt in your life, if you have wounds in your life? If someone begins to ask you about a hurt in your life and you go, don't go there. I don't want to talk about it. Or if you say, I'm over it, leave me alone. Then chances are you still got some hurt there. Chances are it's still pretty sore. And you know what? We've all been there. I'm going to ask magicians to come this morning. I can just tell you right now, I'm a living testimony of God healing broken hearts. Those of you who've known me for a long time, maybe you've seen me go through things in my life that my heart was broken. Others of you have no idea some of the things that maybe I've gone through in my life. But I can tell you this 100%, that our God heals broken hearts. He heals broken hearts. And he's here to put your heart back together. He's here to bring wholeness to your life. He's here not only to heal your body physically, but he wants to heal your heart of a broken heart. Many of you here, you've walked around emotionally wounded for a long time. I'm okay. And even as I'm talking right now, some of you know what I'm talking about because it's bringing up things that you suppressed. Some hurt you thought, Pastor, thanks a lot. I've been pretty good at coping with it for a while. But as you're talking, it's starting to raise back up, and I feel that tender spot being there again. That's all right. That's the Holy Spirit telling you now's the time to give it to him. Now's the time to walk in your healing. Let me say it again. He has not come and given his life so that you and I could just walk around coping with a broken heart. But he came to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the good news of the gospel. This morning, I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads for a quick minute. As you bow your heads today, I want to ask you this question. Say, Pastor Gene, you're talking about Jesus healing your heart, healing your body. But first of all, today, I just got to say that I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. I've never done that. Or maybe you've done it a long time ago. You say, I've been so far away from God. And today, I just feel his Spirit call me back home. And today, I want to renew that commitment to him. I will not embarrass you in any way at all. But if you're here today, say, I'm ready to make a decision to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Nobody's looking but me. Can you just raise your hands? That's me, Pastor. I'm ready to make that today. Thank you. Anybody else want to join this? Thank you. Anybody else say, I want to join these people today? Say, I'm ready. Thank you. Anybody else want to join them today? Say, I'm ready to make a decision. One more time. If you haven't raised it, raise it one more time. I want to see it. We're going to say this prayer together, and especially those who raise your hands, and the rest of us are going to say this prayer with you. We're going to say it out loud. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I accept your love today. I accept your forgiveness. I believe you are the Son of God. I will live my whole life following you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, we say welcome, first of all, to the family of God. Let's give him a hand clap, yeah. If you prayed that prayer today, before you leave, we want you to stop by the back information booth back there. We got a free Bible, some other information tells you what the next steps you need to do. If you don't have a home church, you need to be involved in a home church, okay? We'd love to have you here. If you don't have a home church, get involved in a network of people who can support you in your decision to follow after Christ. It's very important thing. Today, I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet. If you're here today, we're going to take time to pray for those who need physical healing, those who need emotional healing. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I'm sick in my body. I need physical healing. Or maybe you're here today, say, Pastor, I've been carrying around some things in my life that I need to get healed of. Some things I thought maybe I was over, and as you're talking today, I realized that God's never meant for me to walk around carrying this broken heart, but He wants to heal my heart today. Today, I want to come and give Him everything I am that He can work on my heart. If that's you today, I want you to, all of you, come down to the front and join me around the front today. We're going to pray for you. If you want physical healing, if you want emotional healing, come to the front right now. Say, I'm ready. I'm ready today. Let's slump in front right here, guys. Go shoulder to shoulder. Thank you. Give us a little bit of room. There you go. Don't leave here with a broken heart. I'm telling you, He's the best heart surgeon we know. He's come to heal our bodies emotionally and physically. I'm going to ask one more time because there's a few people that aren't up here today that you need to be up here. Come. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Come. Today's your day for healing. Today's your day for healing. Thank you for being obedient. Today's your day for healing. God is wanting to heal you. God's wanting to heal your heart today. Today's your day. The prayer team is going to join me up front today. I want all the prayer team, if you come up here this morning and join me, they're going to stand in the front of you today, all of our prayer partners. They're going to come and they're going to help me pray. We're going to be praying for you. They're going to ask you what your need is today. You just whisper in your need, if it's a physical need or emotional need, you just whisper to them. They're going to lay hands on you and they're going to pray for you. I'm going to come along beside them and begin to pray for you as well. Lay my hands on you. I'm just going to pray today that God would heal your heart, that God would heal your body. We believe that He is our healer. How many believe that He is our healer today? Amen. Justin's going to come and sing this song. The rest of you, I want you praying. I want you worshiping the Lord. Let's see His presence. Feel this place today as we pray for those who need healing in their life today.
You hold my every moment. You calm my raging seas. You walk with me through fire. You heal all my disease. I trust. I trust in you, and I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. Oh, and I believe. Oh,
Sing it.
You hold my every moment.
Calm the raging sea.
Calm my raging sea.
You walk with me through
fire. Walk with me through fire.
Oh, Lord, and you
heal all my disease.
I trust. Walks with us through the fire.
Nothing.
Now come on, let's declare it in faith that
nothing is impossible.
If it's not you down here, it's somebody that you know. Just lift your hands and have faith for somebody this morning that God will heal their hearts, that God will heal their bodies. Because there's nothing impossible for God. If it's not you, it's somebody you know. It's a relative, it's a friend, it's a co-worker, it's a fellow student. Somebody needs you to stand in the gap for them this morning. Who's willing to lift up your hand and say, I will lift up a standing? You hold my world.
We thank you today, God. You are our healing. God, we thank you today, God. We just come into agreement now. I want you to just join me in a prayer of thanksgiving. We've already prayed. We've asked God to heal our bodies, both physically and spiritually. Now, there's something powerful that comes along when you step out in faith and say, God, I'm going to thank you right now that you're healing my body. I'm going to thank you right now that you're healing my heart. by faith. Let's join our faith together with our prayers. Let's just begin to thank Him in advance. God, we thank You right now that, God, You are bringing healing. God, we thank You, God, You're bringing healing physically to our bodies, that You are healing our disease. And God, we thank You, God, You're healing us not only physically, God, but emotionally, God. You're healing, God, our broken heart. You're healing our broken spirits, Father. And we come into advance praise, God, thanking You in advance for what You're doing. Thanking You, God, that You're the God who's in control of my life. You're the God who's already doing things that I may not even see with my natural eyes. But in spiritual eyes, God, there's already things happening in my life. There's already things happening in my spirit. There's already things happening in my body. And Father, right now, we thank You, God, that You are the healing God. We thank You, God, that You're the God who brings forth good reports from doctors. You bring forth good reports, God. We thank You, God, You're the God who heals. And God, we're going to praise You together. Now, I want you just to give God the biggest shout you can this morning. Thank Him. Amen. Hallelujah. One more time, I ask you this question. How many know that our God is a healer? Amen. Yes, He's a healer today. Justin's going to come this morning and dismiss us in a word of prayer. Thank you so much this morning for being here. What a great time in the presence of God. Justin, come. Dismiss us in a word of prayer this morning.
God, quite simply, we just stand in awe of You this morning, God. Lord, what You've done, God, what You're doing, God, on how You're pouring out Your healing, God, on hearts and on bodies, God, on how You're setting people free, God, on how You're releasing them, God, to a new life, God, or the life that You intended for all of us to have, Lord. Well, we thank You, God, that we can have a firsthand view of what You're doing in this place, God, among Your people, God. And Lord, we pray, God, that we would carry this spirit with us into our homes and our jobs and our schools, God, to our supermarkets, God, Lord, so that Your nature would be our nature, God, and that love would pour out of our pores, God, and that, Lord, we would be able to speak a word of healing, God, and a word that would set a captive free, God, but because that's the kind of God that You are, and that's the kind of people that You've ordained us to be, God. So, Lord, we thank You, God, for this day, God. Lord, our hearts are made glad, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.